Hey everyone, welcome back to the Monclova Baptist Church podcast. We're thankful that you joined us today. Hey, if you would do us a favor at the end of this episode, make sure that you follow us on our social, Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that bell button so that you get notified every time that we post new content. If you also want to stay connected with us beyond Sunday morning, make sure that you download the MRBC app on the Google Play Store or the App Store. Now let's dive in.
All right, Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We are still in the book of Revelation. I tell you, I hope that this has been a help to you. I told my wife we were in Revelation 19. She said, again, weren't we already in Revelation 19? I said, there's so much here in Revelation 19, we can't skip any of it. I don't want you to miss a thing about what the Bible has to say. The Bible says, blessed is he that studies this and understands this and obeys it, specifically the book of Revelation. We read that however many weeks ago when we started this study. So there's a special blessing to those that understand this. In Revelation chapter 19, we find the judgment that comes. We find the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are things that maybe if you're a new believer, you've never heard of before. There's going to be a marriage supper, a feast. God is going to supply a place for us when we're in heaven, after the rapture of the church and before the Lord, we return with the Lord, there's going to be a celebration, a feast, a supper that the bride of Christ is going to be there with the groom, that's Jesus Christ. And that takes place in chapter number 19. And then verse number 11, we read here the last time we were in this 2 weeks ago as well, but I want to pick up reading again in verse number 11. John says this, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame as fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." Now this is not the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is after the marriage supper of the Lamb is finished and the Lord is returning. John says, I look into heaven and there's the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back on this white horse, and with him the armies of heaven. That's you and I. That's the saints of God that have trusted Christ as a Savior. That's the bride of Christ coming back. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Remember, we mentioned this. Jesus comes for his church. That's the rapture of the church. That takes place before the tribulation. But Jesus doesn't step foot back here upon this earth. We meet him in the clouds. After we meet him in the clouds, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds with him. And that's those that have not died when the rapture takes place. We'll meet those that have gone on before us, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll be with the Lord for that seven-year period. In heaven, on earth, it's the tribulation. And all that we've read previously in the book of Revelation, all the judgment, the seals that were opened, the trumpets that were sounded, all of that was happening during the tribulation, that seven-year period here upon this earth where God pours his wrath out. At the end of that seven-year period, Jesus Christ is seen coming. This is what John is speaking of here in chapter 19. And he saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. A battle takes place. What is this battle? What is this war? It's the Battle of Armageddon. How many of you ever heard the word Armageddon before? There's movies about it. You hear, you think about Armageddon, it's the end of the world. And here we're reading of this battle that's going to take place. And I saw the beast in verse number 19, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet and that wrought miracles before him, which with which he deceived them, and had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So Christ is coming. John is revealing, showing us as he's looking into the future, there's going to be an event that takes place. It's this battle of Armageddon. The Lord's coming back, and Satan and the Antichrist, and Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire, is going to be bound for a thousand years in this bottomless pit, and we'll read more of that in chapter number 20. But today I want to speak to you about this battle of Armageddon. This is why I didn't want to just move past this chapter and into chapter number 20, because we hear of this battle of Armageddon. We even Hollywood uses this word Armageddon. Armageddon literally means Mount Megiddo. I've taken a couple trips to Israel with our church, and we've stood here at this Mount Megiddo, and we've looked at out in this valley of Armageddon, this Armageddon. It's an ancient trade route. It's a cross route. Whoever in ancient times, whoever controls this valley controls the commerce that's going from east to west. So this was an important trade route. This is a vast valley where the armies of the world are going to come, and as they gather here, they're going to gather because Satan is going to do everything he can now to defeat and destroy Israel. We're going to see what causes this battle of Armageddon here today, but I want to see, first of all, the prophecy that predicts Armageddon, the prophecies that predict Armageddon. Go with me, if you would, back to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter number 16. In verse number 15 and 16, the Bible says this, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." There's a gathering. God is going to gather all the nations of the world here to this place, this valley of Armageddon. He's going to gather the nations here. The place of Armageddon sits in Israel. The nations of the world are going to come against Israel. You know it's interesting. We're seeing the signpost or the battle of Armageddon take place. Even in our generation today, we're seeing these things unfold. We're watching today. It's interesting. The nations like ours that's once stood for Israel is now standing against what Israel is doing. Israel is defending herself like any other nation would in the situations that have recently happened with Israel. In nations even like America, we've even heard this past week in our own Senate a top-ranking senator call for the removal of Israel's prime minister. We're hearing more and more, even in our own nation, riots on college campuses, young people standing opposed to Israel and standing for Palestine. We're seeing this take place even in our own nation. The nations of the world are gathering together, even as we speak, even this week, they'll be gathering together opposing what Israel is doing to keep safety for her own nation. We're seeing the nations of this world coming against Israel. God is gathering the nations there. What are some prophecies that have taken place? For sake of time, I can't go in to each one of these, but let me just give you a list of some things that we've looked at over these last several weeks, and things that you'll find in the Word of God, some prophecies that have been fulfilled. And the first one was this, is that Israel is now back in her land. This is prophecy fulfilled. Since Israel was taken out of her land through the Assyrians and through the Babylonian Empire, and since that time, even back in the Old Testament time, Israel has been scattered, the Jews have been scattered, but it wasn't until after World War II that the Jews were able to come back to Israel, and this nation of Israel was formed in a day. This is Bible prophecy being fulfilled. The second thing we read of that we're finding that's taking shape even in our generation today is the reunified Europe. This is the old Roman Empire reconstituted. You look at Europe today. Europe today has a common currency. Europe today has common travel or common borders. We're seeing Europe today come back into the ancient Roman Empire that's taking place, the European Union taking place today. We see and read of globalism, this one world government today. Isn't it amazing that sovereign nations are being told by world nations and powers what they must and what they can't do? There's no more sovereignty left in nations today. This is globalism, a one-world economy, a one-world government, a one-world system. We're seeing this like we've never seen it before. This is prophecy that's being fulfilled, that's predicting and coming to this place of Armageddon. You mark this down as well. You'll see this in Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 38, and Ezekiel 39. You'll find where Russia and the Arab nations are coming together and they're joining forces against Israel. We're seeing it happen in the world today. We're seeing this power of Russia, China, Iran, these world powers coming together. And what are they doing? They're going to come against Israel. We're seeing today in Israel, Iran's power that's trying to control the Red Sea through their proxy of people and nations, and they're trying to control trade there, getting into Israel. Why is this important to see? Because this is prophecy being fulfilled. God says this, he's going to put a hook in their mouth. He's drawing them in to this place of Armageddon. We find this as well. Kings of the East are gathering strength. I read an article just this past week. For the first time, China is going to be putting more toward their percentage, more toward their armies and their military might than the United States is this year. It's a growing. China is boasting of this. At any time, they could boast of a 200 million man army. You say, why is that significant? Because for the first time in all of humanity, there's a nation that can boast of putting 200 million soldiers on a battlefield. And it was John that said, as he's seeing these nations of the East come against Israel, there's an army of 200 million coming against Israel. We're seeing in our generation prophecy fulfilled. Boy, I'm saying to you today, if you can't see that the end is near, if you can't see that God is working, if you can't see that the book of Revelation is happening right before our eyes, then you are blinded. Secondly, I want you to see this. Go with me in Revelation chapter 16, verse number 13. Revelation 16, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast. and out of the mouth of the false prophets. So we have the dragon, the beast, the false prophets, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. These are on purpose trying to deceive the nations, deceive the people of the world. They go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to this battle, the great day of God Almighty. I want you to, second of all, say their satanic passion that's going to provoke this battle of Armageddon. This battle that John is prophesying of in Revelation 19 is when Jesus is coming back. It's going to consist of this battle of Armageddon. But in chapter number 16, we find their satanic passions provoking the nations, the kings of this world, to come to this place of Armageddon. It's passions of hate. It's passions of deception. It's passion of pride. Satan is sending out demons to manipulate the nations to war against Jesus at Armageddon. Hear me, church. We will never understand what is happening in today's world if you don't understand who it is that's standing in the shadows. When you look at the things that are happening in this world today, as a Bible-believing Christian, when we look at the world and we think to ourselves, how could someone believe this? How could someone fall for this? How can evil be good and good be evil? How can this happen? How can any sane person, how can any logical person look at this situation and allow it to happen the way it's happening? That's where you went wrong, because it isn't sane. It isn't logical. It is provoked by Satan himself. There is demonic influences that is going around the capitals of this world, in the government hallways of this world, and through places throughout this world that is provoking this battle to take place. Satan is doing everything he can to destroy this world. He's doing everything he can to bring this world to destruction. He's doing everything he can to bring this world to fight against Christ. In Matthew chapter number 24, again, for sake of time, I won't go to all these, but let me give you these references. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 24, the Bible speaks of this. Jesus speaks of false prophets and false Christ. They're seducing. They're deceiving. They're doing signs and wonders to try to deceive. We're going to see that taking place even today. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, there's verses here of false prophets bringing in heresies. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes this: some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. In Mark chapter 13, verse number 22, again, we read of false prophets that are there to seduce. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says that God is going to send a strong delusion, that they're going to believe these lies of Satan. What I'm simply saying to you today, that there is false teaching, there's false prophets, there's deception that's taking place in the highest places of this world. There's deception that's taking place, and it's satanic deception. You see, even in our own country today, the nonsense that's taking place. We're seeing in our own nation today, it seems like common sense could fix some of the issues that we're seeing. But the Bible says this: we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a battle that's taking place. And many of us Christians, we're just going through the motions. We're just living this life, and there's a battle. There's a demonic battle that's taking place for the souls of mankind.
Why do we take a month like this month? Why do we take the finances and the time to put scriptures together? Why do we support missionaries? And why do we support church planting? You saw it on the screen today that we are losing this battle when it comes to churches, when it comes to Bible-believing churches, even in our own nation. A nation that was built, that was founded upon religious liberties. A nation that was founded because people wanted to come and live their lives upon the word of God without government interference. We're now living in a nation that in the next 25 years, we are going to be an unreached nation. There are more people sitting home today on a Sunday morning than in churches today in this country. Why? Because there's a battle that's taking place. There's a war that's being provoked. There's satanic passions in play. Go with me, if you would, please, to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, I want you to see, thirdly today, the people that are planning Armageddon. The people that are planning this Armageddon. Look with me in chapter number 17. In verse number 12, the Bible says this, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." That 1 hour is not just a 1 hour, 60-minute time. It just simply means for a period of time. So for a period of time, there's these 10 horns or these 10 kings that are going to take up power with the beast. Verse number 13, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." Verse number 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." There's a confederacy of 10 kings. These 10 kings have pledged their allegiance to the beast. These 10 kings will be the revised Roman Empire. As you were to study the book of Daniel, and Nebuchadnezzar had this dream of this image, and on this image it was of gold and all the way down to the feet, and Daniel gives this prophecy of what this is. These are the world empires. We saw it with Babylon and then Persia, and all the way down to the last would be this revised Roman Empire, that the Antichrist is going to rule. There's going to be these 10 horns or these 10 kings that are going to give themselves. They're the kingdoms of this world that are going to give themselves and all their power and all their authority. And what is the Bible simply saying? Whatever the Antichrist wants to do, these kings are going to follow. The Antichrist is going to wage war against Christ. He's going to wage war against God. And these kings, in their ignorance, in their deception, they're going to follow right along with this king, with the Antichrist. I want you to see number four. These are the number three, these are the people that are planning it, these 10 kings with the Antichrist. Number four, I want you to see this. Look with me, if you would, please, in Revelation chapter 13. I want you to see the pride that precipitates Armageddon. Pride that precipitates Armageddon. Look with me in Revelation 13, verse number 4. "And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him?" This all that we see, all the sin that we see, all the filth that we see, all comes from pride. There was a time in heaven where Satan said, "I will be like the Most High." I will be like God. It was pride. Satan wanted the power that God had. Satan wanted the worship that belonged to God. And the Bible says that Satan was tossed out of heaven, and a third of the angels were tossed out of heaven with him. And from that time, Satan has done everything he can to destroy, to deceive. Satan comes to the garden with Eve, and he says, Eve, what did God say? If you eat of that fruit, you'll be like a god. What is he saying? Pride and power. When Satan took Jesus, when Jesus was fasting for those 40 days in the wilderness, one of the things that Satan said to Jesus, if you come and you bow to me, look at all the nations, all the kingdoms of this world. If you bow to me and give reverence to me, I'll give you the nations of this world. Satan is after power. You look at, even in our own nation today, the demise of our nation is because of pride and the desire for power. There's men and women that are sitting in the government offices of nations like America that just simply desire power. Pride. Not caring about anyone else, just caring about what they can get. This is exactly what we're reading. The dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast. This is what it's all about. The beast, Satan himself, he wants power. He wants to be worshiped. There's worship the dragon, and the dragon says, if you can get everyone to worship me, I'll allow them to worship you as well. Verse number 5, the Bible says this, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name in his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. This pride, the beast is going to have a great persuasion. This beast is going to be a great orator. When this beast speaks, when the Antichrist speaks, men and women are going to want to listen. He's going to speak, and people are going to fall over his words. When he speaks, he's going to speak lies. He's going to speak, he's going to be full of pride, but they're going to follow him. And after 3.5 years of the tribulation, so the rapture takes place, and for these 3.5 years, this is established and this is set. But after 3.5 years, midway through the tribulation, the beast is going to move into the temple of God. The temple is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And the beast is going to come into this temple, and he's going to sit in that temple, and he's going to proclaim himself to be God. This is what the world is looking for. Instead of believing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, instead of believing that the Messiah has come, instead of putting their faith and trust in the true God, they are looking for a deceiver. They're looking for someone else. And Satan, through the beast, is going to come, the Antichrist. He's going to sit in this place of power, and he's going to proclaim himself to be God. And when this happens, look with me in verse number 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. As he sits in this temple and proclaims himself to be God, the Jews are going to realize this. We've put our faith in the wrong one. They're going to recognize and realize that they've been deceived. This one that they thought was the Messiah is truly the Antichrist. Go with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter number 24. I want you to see what Jesus has to say here. Matthew chapter 24. In verse number 15. Matthew 24, 15, the Bible says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. What is that? That's the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist sitting in the temple, the rebuilt temple, claiming himself to be God. When you see this spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. He's showing when this happens, there's going to be great troubles. And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall great tribulation, such as this was not since the beginning of this world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. These are the words of Jesus. He said there's coming a day that this Antichrist is going to sit in the temple. That holy place is the temple there in Jerusalem. He's going to proclaim himself to be God. There's coming a time of great evil. The Jews are going to resist him. And when the Jews resist him, Satan is going to be enraged. It's just like Haman there in the book of Esther. Remember Haman in the book of Esther? He had all the power. He had all the authority. He walked with all the king's authority given to him. But there was one man, just one man, Mordecai, that would not bow. Everyone else bowed. But Haman needed that one man. You see, when you're full of pride like the Antichrist, when you're full of pride like the beast here, it's not enough that almost everyone is worshiping. Everyone must worship. And here Satan is going to be enraged. Why is he going to be enraged? Because there are some, the Jews, are not proclaiming him to be God. They're turning their back on him, and he's going to go all out against them. Armageddon will be Satan's vengeance on those that refuse to bow and worship him. Number five, I want you to see this. I want you to see the plagues that precede Armageddon. Go back with me, if you would please, to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter number 16, these are the plagues that are going to precede Armageddon. Revelation 16, look with me if you would please. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Go with me to the book of Revelation 18, verse number 8. The Bible says, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." These are all plagues that are going to precede Armageddon. The kingdom of the beast is falling apart before their very eyes. Plagues are being poured out upon the beast and upon these kings. Instead of these kings repenting of their sins and recognizing that this Antichrist is the Antichrist and is not God, instead of them recognizing who the one true God is, they look at God, the God of heavens, and they curse him and blaspheme him. And they still desire to follow the Antichrist. Think of the deception that's here. Evil men understand not judgment. Hear me, I've said this before during this Revelation series, but if you cannot see God because of his grace, then you will not turn to God in his judgment. Here God is extending his love. He is extending his grace. If you are sitting here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is extending his love towards you today. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw you dead in trespasses and sin and said, I want to save you. I want to reconcile you back to me. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin and to my sin and all the sins of this world. But mankind will not receive God because of his love. Oh, listen to me. In Revelation chapter 16, Revelation chapter 18, mankind is not going to receive God even when his judgment comes. Great plagues are going to be poured out. I want you to see this, number six. I want you to see the divine power that comes at Armageddon. This divine power that comes. Look with me back in Revelation 19, verse number 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. I want you to think about this. The world has now come together. Everything, the last 5 points I've given you, is all leading up to Armageddon. You see, the Antichrist is proclaiming himself to be God. He's gathered the armies of this world. He's gathered the 10 kings of this world. We find them blaspheming God. We find them persecuting the saints of God. The world has come together. The beast is angry because the Jews are resisting him and his authority and his power. It will look hopeless for Israel as Israel is hiding in fear, as the saints of God are hiding afraid of what the Antichrist is going to do. Great persecution is going out. There's death. There's beheading that's going out for those that are not taking the mark of the beast. And then, when it seems hopeless, when the armies of the world are gathered themselves together in this place of Armageddon, when it seems like they're coming against Jerusalem, when it seems like all is lost, when it seems like everyone is going to be done, when it seems like the Antichrist has won the final victory, they look into heaven, and as they look into heaven, they see Jesus Christ coming on this white horse. Jesus is riding on a white horse. What does this white horse give us? It shows victory. It's a sign of a conquering general. He is followed by the waves of armies clothed in white. That's you and that's me that know Christ as your Savior. We're clothed in white. What does that mean? The righteousness of Christ. Oh, when it seems hopeless and when it seems like it's the end and it seems like there is no hope for Israel, Jesus comes for Israel. Out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. It is the word of God. The Antichrist has all the weapons of this world. Oh, think about this. All the nuclear power is there in Armageddon. Just as today, Putin is spewing out that venom out of his mouth. If this happens or that happens, they'll release these nuclear weapons. Just like today in North Korea, they're spewing that venom out of their mouth. That if America makes the wrong move or South Korea makes a wrong move, that nuclear weapons are going to be tossed toward these nations. Just like in these, the fear is gripped to the nations of this world because of the power of nuclear weapons. All the battle is going to take place here in Armageddon. All the armies will take place, all the weapons of war, but the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have a gun. The Lord Jesus Christ does not have a nuclear weapon. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have a tank. He simply has his word. Now listen to me today. It's with that word everything was created out of nothing. I'll think about the power of the Word of God. When nothing existed, God said, let there be, and it became. When Jesus was there asleep on that boat in the Sea of Galilee, and his disciples got scared, a storm came up, and they're concerned. and they're afraid, and they're not sure what's going to happen. And they wake their Savior and say, "Don't you care?" Jesus stands in that boat and simply says with his words, "Peace, be still." And the waters were settled. With that same word, when the armies of the high priest came to the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was begging, "Let this cup pass from me," when his disciples fell asleep as they were supposed to be praying, oh, Peter draws his sword to cut off an ear. Jesus doesn't draw a sword. Jesus doesn't have a weapon. When they come to Jesus and says, "Who is Jesus of Nazareth?" And he simply says with his words, "I am he," they fall to their faces. Oh, the power of the Word of God. We see it throughout the Word of God. We see it from the beginning of the Word of God, and we see it at the end of the Word of God here in the book of Revelation, just like in the beginning of Genesis, when God out of nothing created everything with his Word. He's going to come to this battle of Armageddon, and with his Word, he is going to win. I don't know what he's going to say. John doesn't say what that word is going to be, but at this battle of Armageddon, there's going to be a great victory. There's power in his voice. There's power in his words. Satan is going to be destroyed. The Antichrist, his reign is going to be finished. All because of the Word of God. These are the signposts. These are the evidence that we see happening leading up to the Battle of Armageddon. After the Battle of Armageddon, we'll see here in his upcoming weeks, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign here upon this earth. That's why I say, I'm all for taking care of what God has given us. But those that say the world's going to end if we don't do something by 2050, they don't know their Bible. Amen. Because the Bible so clearly tells us that there is at least 1,007 years left at any moment here upon this earth. From the time that Jesus Christ comes, the 7 year of tribulation, the 1,000 year reign of Jesus Christ, we are going to rule and reign with him. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Demons fear the name of Jesus Christ. Satan fears the name of Jesus Christ because there's power. I love that old song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." There's power. If you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day. Church, I was convicted this week and encouraged this week. As I sat with that couple in my office this week, this past Friday, they've been sitting in our church since December. And they said this, we have learned more sitting here in this church on Sunday morning in 4 months than we learned our entire upbringing. And I said, "I've only been in Revelation." They said, "We never even heard about Revelation." If you say, why do we take the time every single week to introduce Jesus Christ to someone? Everyone here knows who Jesus is. There's people that are sitting here right now. Yes, you may have heard about it, but have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? God help us never get too cold, that the power of the gospel that the proclamation of the gospel, that souls being saved, no longer affects us. That's why we've taken this month, the entire month of March, we call it Missions Emphasis Month. For what? Because there's a battle. There's a battle. We know this, in the end, the war, Satan's going to lose. But unfortunately, there's battles that he's winning. There's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your family. There's a battle for your church. There's a battle for your marriage. There's a battle for your children. He's going to lose the war. But I don't want him to win a battle. Oh, we know the war belongs to Jesus. But there are some that are going to reject Jesus Christ. And you've lost your soul. There are some, yes, we're going to stand as saints and return and rule and reign with him, but you're going to lose your marriage. You're going to lose your children. Because you're not taking this battle and this war serious. There's an onslaught leading up to this place of Armageddon. And Satan wants everything he can do and is doing everything he can in his power to destroy anything righteous and good. We've got to stand against it with the power of God, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he's not going to win the war. But with God's help, he doesn't have to win a battle either.
You just finished listening to a message from the preaching ministry at Monclova Road Baptist Church. If it was a help to you, make sure that you let somebody know about it. If you need help beyond this message, make sure that you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, or check out our website, monclovabaptist.org, and we would love to connect with you there and help you with anything that you might need. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on the Monclova Baptist Church Podcast.